the Bears.
We'll go next to Chris Emma from 670 The Score. Go ahead, Chris.
Chris Emma.
I will fight Chris Emma. Name the time, name the place. I'll be there, Chris Emma.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
Covering the Bears quite a bit, as he always does, and we're always happy to have him aboard. Chris Emma.
Yeah, we got you, Chris. Chris, you look like you're working that technology about like I did.
Lead Bears writer for 670thescore.com.
We have time for one more Chris Emma. This will be the last one.
Well, Coach, just say the word, and I'll get my technique fine-tuned and ready for your offensive line.
Chris Emma with Spiegel and Holmes.
I like it.
On 670 The Score.
Let's get it. Chris Emma is here. He joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. And whenever it is that we are doing Bears conversation here on The Score, we love the folks over at Chevy, Chevy Drive Chicago, and the number one pick, the Silverado. Emma, this is like post-game coverage because they really do like these dual practices versus preseason games. So tell us everything we need to know.
Guys, it was a busy day with plenty to unpack here at Hallis Hall. The more than two hours of the joint practice at Fields 3 and 4. As it typically goes, it's Bears offense against Dolphins defense, Bears defense against Dolphins offense. It's a lot to follow, man. You feel like you're drinking through a fire hose, just trying to figure it all out and see what's happening out there. My overview today, man, it was a great day for the Bears defense, and you got to see that unit shine. And I'll preface it by saying Tyreek Hill was not practicing. He's dealing with an oblique. Jaylen Waddle got dinged up in practice. He left. But it doesn't matter. Tua's a good quarterback, and you know what you're up against there. This Bears defense looked dominant out there. It was a strong day for that unit. On the offensive side of the football, there were some good moments. It was up and down, I would say. There were some things you want to clean up and a continuation of some of the details we've seen throughout training camp. But it was encouraging at times and something to build on.
Emma, I got to say, your background, your microphone, your everything, the look is just outstanding. Right now, that is phenomenal. It's exciting. It's Bears-ish, and it's getting us going. I love that we've had a chance, and we're going to hear from Caleb Williams, who spoke with Layla Rahimi and Mark Grody earlier today, and we've had a chance to hear from Ben Johnson a lot, and we'll hear a little bit about that as well. But Kevin Byard's stepping up today. That's a dude. That is an adult. And that is a guy I always enjoy getting to hear talk because of his time in the league and his understanding of how locker rooms work and how football needs to function.
It was great to hear from KB. It's great to hear from him any time, but especially today on a day in which the defense shined. Byard had a diving interception on Tua Tagovailoa. According to our colleague Jason Leisure, Tua had thrown one pick all throughout training camp. He threw three today. Byard had one. Jaquan Brisker had another. Tremaine Edmonds got him at the goal line, but Byard had the play of the day defensively. He was really loud out there. You heard him. You felt his presence, and he was carrying the way for this group. He was happy with how things went, as you'd imagine. So here's Kevin Byard on the defense's performance.
I feel like we just came out with the right intensity. We kind of just talked about it last night in our meetings, being able to go out there and set the tone. I mean, I always believe that defense is obviously set, everything's set from the front. So obviously boys like Grady, Dex, Tez, Dio, they're going to set the tone. But on the back end, we wouldn't be able to hold our own, too. And Briss came out there, got a couple big hits. He got a pick, kind of turned us all up. I was able to get a pick as well. So still a lot of things to clean up. But I think if we play like we practice today, we're going to be pretty good.
Man, it's I like the way this defense is coming together, Lawrence.
I do, too. I'm still concerned about the pass rush. I'm not sure that they did enough. But I do think with the creativity of Dennis Allen, it offers them an opportunity to try to make some things look like they're not supposed to look, which should keep offenses off balance.
Yeah, I think Dennis Allen's man coverage threw off the Dolphins today. They were just not ready to go against them with the passing attack. And there was a forced fumble as well. They were strong against the run. You saw that pass defense in particular really shine today. And those guys were flying around. They were playing with confidence. You felt them. They were pumping up the crowd because it was a home game at practice today, and people were into it. Between the two fields, anytime the offense would do something, you get a cheer. There was one moment where Caleb hit Colson Loveland on a long touchdown. There was a loud cheer. Over in the other field, Jaquan Brisker took a pick the other way, and that field was cheering. So there was an energy out on fields 3 and 4 today, and the defense was feeding off that. the work that they've done throughout camp is really encouraging, because last year you didn't really get a sense of what this defense could be with Matt Eberflus being forced out, and really the effort level was in question a lot of the way. The injuries, certainly to Andrew Billings up front, Vontaze Sweat was just never healthy. You didn't get a sense of what this defense could be at its full form. And you're seeing that now, the way this group, with it's healthy and coming together with Dennis Allen's identity, is playing. But it's also a buy-in to what Ben Johnson's doing. And Kevin Byard offered an interesting comparison as to a culture change he was part of before back in Tennessee. So here's Kevin Byard.
Just his intensity, attention to detail. He's a leader of men. I know that's always kind of been talked about just as a head coach, but I just really enjoy the energy that he sets every single day. You know, I've been part of a new kind of leadership change, culture change, and it feels very similar. Doesn't matter if you're year one, undrafted, year 10, you got to come in and show every single day and show improve, and you feel it, you know what I mean? So, like I said, as a veteran, I've been through it, and it's very similar to what it was when I was with Vrabel. So, and I don't like to make the comparison as far as, like, just because we have Vrabel's going to have success, whatever it may be, but just I understand what it's like to have to reset a culture, and I think he's doing a great job.
Ooh, look, that is unprompted. It's not like you guys asked him, does it remind you of Vrabel? He brings it up there and even says, I don't like to do that, but... And here's the thing. We'll see whether it's all going to work. What I do know is that the dream is an offensive strategist with a great mind, who's a great play caller, who's also a leader of men. I mean, that's the dream, is you have that combo. So that's very exciting for me to hear, frankly.
Hearing that the culture is hearing from an old head. Like, this is a guy that's seen stuff. Like, this isn't just a guy that's here. Like, he's seen stuff, and he's at a point in his career that he doesn't have to say nice things. He's accomplished enough where he can just be like, oh, it's whatever. But I do like the fact that he feels that way. That's very, very strong. Emma, he's not the only one that was talking about Ben Johnson, though, right?
We got to hear from the chairman, George McCaskey, who has been, obviously, at all these practices, watching from the sidelines. He enjoyed Tuesday's practice in particular. I talked to you guys after that one, and it was intense. There was live tackling. There was some altercations. It was one of those days of training camp, and George McCaskey loved what he saw. Here's George McCaskey.
Well, it reminded me of the good old days of two-a-days, but you saw it getting a little chippy today with the joint practice. The guys are getting physical. I think that's an indication of how hard they're working. I think it's also an indication of how hot it is and how humid it is. No big blow-ups, so positive results.
Year one with Ben, year two with Caleb, just how are you feeling about the team, the football side of things?
Everyone's very hopeful. Everyone's very excited, talking to the fans, coming into practices. You know, we're in the honeymoon period. We're undefeated. So... I think people are very excited that we got the guy that they wanted us to get. But now we need to take care of business.
When you're watching practice, what grabs you about your head coach?
Yeah, you're seeing it. He's intense. He's demanding. He's committed. He's intelligent. And as Kevin said, you can see the respect that the players have for him. They know he knows ball. And they know that he can make them better.
Players have talked about the culture shift that they've experienced here since he was hired. How have you noticed that culture shift?
I wouldn't say a shift. You know, when you're successful, they say you have great culture. Mm-hmm. And when you're struggling, they say, well, there must be a problem with the culture. He's an agent of change, that's for sure. And we're looking for positive results from him.
George, what was the significance for you to be able to extend Ryan Poles' contract?
As Kevin said, it shows our faith in him. Ryan would be the first person to tell you. We don't have the results yet, but you can see him putting the building blocks together. His staff is strong. His leadership is sound. He's a great listener. He's a great leader. And we think he's a great talent evaluator. And we think that his partnership with Ben is going to bring Bears fans the winner they deserve.
I like that in there, George is being real realistic. Like that part was like, hey, we're in the honeymoon phase. Like, we're undefeated. Nothing's happened here yet. I appreciate that there, while he is being positive about who Ben Johnson is and what he thinks he's done, that he is still waiting at least for a little bit to see some proof of concept.
It's a notable comparison to Kevin Warren, who spoke as well. And I know you played back some of the stadium stuff where he sets such a positive tone about this is going as exactly as we expected. And we're right on track with everything. And it's like, you don't really believe that. You feel the hurdles are still there. And that's a different topic. But George McCaskey's giving you realness, like you said. He's telling you, like, let's see the results. He's a Bears fan too, man. He talks about it all the time, about his connection. Is somebody has talks about himself as a fan first a lot of the times. And he wants to see the results, but he's also trusted Ryan Poles and Kevin Warren and everybody in this organization around him. He's turning to them saying, let's get this right here.
Yeah.
I think he's eager to see how this all plays out, but he certainly believes in it.
This was a big ask for George and the family to hand over the power and the money and double down with Ryan Poles, with the new guy, like the entire thing and the pivot to letting a head coach run the entire thing the way that we need to. It's a big ask.
And to eat the money on Eberflus.
All of it. So it's a big ask and a big step up, and they deserve props for that. So I understand, because George, who does care, like you're talking about, Lawrence, is really watching very closely to make sure that they've done the right thing.
It's good to hear. It's good to hear that it isn't just, you know, seashells and balloons. Like, hey, there's still work that has to be done, but we're happy with what we've seen. I find that to be fair.
Yeah, man. I'll never forget the image of George, like, freaking out positively when the Bears had a pick six against Minnesota at the Vikings on the road. That last year of Tressman and Emery, like, the Bears were way out of it. They were way out of it, but he was passionately going crazy for the Bears making a big play on defense, and then 3 weeks later he fired both of them because he cares in every way.
The other team that was here was the Dolphins, and I would love to cover Mike McDaniel. I think that he is a fascinating person. Emma, did you get some time with Mike McDaniel?
I did get some time with Mike McDaniel. Look, these press conferences with head coaches here for the Bears, whether it's Ben Johnson, Matt Eberflus, they typically go about 10 or so minutes. Mike McDaniel spoke for about a half hour to reporters today, answering every single question in detail and a lot of thought going into it. What you're about to hear is Mike McDaniel talking about the coach-quarterback relationship, one that he had to take on with Tua Tagovailoa after Brian Flores was dismissed in Miami, and establishing that connection. And then you're going to hear Mike McDaniel talk about his connection with a 14-year-old Caleb Williams, who he coaches as part of the quarterback collection. So let's get right to it. Here's Mike McDaniel.
Yeah, I think the main thing is that the two individual parties with proper intent go through stuff together. So, like, quite honestly, to get to the spot that you need to, like, you need, you know, Caleb's going to be challenged. And then, you know, by nature, your true intent of how you're coaching and what your motivations are do come through when you go through stuff together. But you have to create the relationship that you want, you have to, really care, have competitiveness, accountability, and you're probably going to have to get into some fights that aren't, it's like there's a bug flying around me. Does that have to do with the way I smell? No. You have to go through stuff together. So, it may seem in the short term that either from the player's perspective, coach is coming at you, or from the coach's perspective, the player might be getting sensitive at some point, or might be misinterpreting you, and there's no way around it. You have to go straight through those types of scenarios because it's a real relationship's developed, not in perfect conditions, but going through stuff together. You know, Caleb, I coached in a collective football camp when he was like 17 years old, or 14, I think, all the way back to 14 years old. So I've known Caleb for a long time.
Wow.
As a 14-year-old, he was super talented and super cerebrally. He was position focused and technique focused, which is super rare for a guy of his talent. And then fast forward to, you know, so I had my eye on him when he's a freshman in Oklahoma, watched him at USC, and did incredible things on the football field with the whole world watching. So there's a guy that knows how to live within expectations like you have to do as a franchise quarterback, has the capability and you know, he's been working to improve his game for a long time. And so he was a prospect that was stood out, I guess, from the, you know, each year you have quarterbacks come out. You see a guy that can do every throw and then can verbalize and know any offense inside and out. So he's a good prospect for sure.
Super interesting to spend
that's
3 minutes with
so
that guy.
Cool.
I mean, it's super interesting just to hang out with him. But what's so cool, remembering him at age 14?
It's all of it. It's like Emma was saying, like, one, another NFL coach giving you 30 minutes. And not just giving you 30 minutes, like actually talking to you about the quarterback of your team and breaking. This quote is amazing. The two quotes that I wrote down there, you're probably going to have to get into some fights when he's talking about the relationship between quarterback and coach.
Mm-hmm.
And then Caleb being position focused, technique focused, which is rare with someone with his talent. Like there's for someone to go chapter and verse on your quarterback, and everyone really respects Mike McDaniel, his mind.
His offensive mind,
right?
and the way the humans function. Whether you agree with him or not, he thinks about it deeply.
It's very cool to get that type of intel on your team from another coach.
Yeah, no, I agree. And the idea of the fights that are bound to happen, I'm sure he and Tua have. I'm sure he saw Kyle Shanahan, his mentor, get into it with quarterbacks along the way. And we know that Ben and Jared Goff did, and I'm sure that Ben and Caleb are, you know, and if they haven't, they sure will, right, Chris?
Without a doubt. There's so much from Mike McDaniel. I could have played so much more of that. He talked about his connection with Ben Johnson, about the admiration of his offensive innovation. I'll write about it for 670thescore.com, kind of covering it. It's just, you get a sense that he's very similar to Ben Johnson in terms of the offensive mind and connecting with a quarterback. They're very different personalities, obviously, but they see quarterback development the same way. And you got a sense of it there from Mike McDaniel.
So what about the Bears head coach? What did he say? Because he used to be in Miami.
He spent 7 seasons down in Miami, and it was an interesting time. He rose up the ranks and then fell off. He had 5 different job titles in 7 years with 2 different head coaches, Joe Philbin first and then Adam Gase. And then once Gase was fired, he fell out of a job, and he got fired for the only time in his career. But get a reflection on his time in Miami. Here's Ben Johnson.
Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt. There's a number of familiar faces, whether it's people that were there when I was there. I think that was 2012 to 2018. You know, training staff, equipment staff, coaches. There's still some coaches that are still there, and then there's some coaches that I was with in Detroit that are there now too. So it'll be pretty cool to see some of those faces. It's when you look back at this game at this level, it always comes down to relationships. And you know, we get into the competitive nature of wins and the losses, and you know, you get fired and you have to move on and all that. But really, it's the people that you're around that make the job so enjoyable.
Man, it's cool, and I love that he's got old friends there, and some of those people get to stick around. Like, he seems like a genuine dude, and it's, you know, it's interesting. This whole day has seemed worthwhile, and we knew that it would be, but this should be on TV. We talked about it before the show, Lawrence. This idea of like televising the joint practices. I mean, it's a revenue stream waiting for somebody, don't you think?
Yeah, I think I'd have to really crunch the numbers on it. But yeah, I do think that that's, as they move away from the importance of preseason games, the joint practices offer an element that you're not going to get in game coverage that I think is fascinating and should be monetized. If I'm thinking about this as a business, how many people would stream that at work? Like, how many people would have been streaming Bears-Dolphins dual practice today while they're sitting there figuring out how they can duck out of work today around 2 o'clock and get themselves on the road for a vacation? Like, it would have done numbers for sure, but that's wild stuff, man. Wow, so good. Any nuggets or tidbits for us?
I got a bunch of nuggets and tidbits. I'll keep it quick as I can here. Kyler Gordon did not practice, dealing with a hamstring injury. Darnell Wright returned after limping off of practice yesterday. A notable addition at the left tackle mix, Theo Benedict mixed in with the first-team offense today. Karan Abagaji remained sidelined. Braxton Jones, Ozzie Terpillo, both rotating in as well. Former Bears connections with the Dolphins include Larry Borum and James Daniels. The offensive coordinator there is Frank Smith, who was Don Fox's tight ends coach. Champ Kelly, who was a right-hand man to Ryan Pace, part of that front office brass as well. Good to see former Bears offensive lineman Kyle Long today at practice. He's working with CBS Sports. People were drawn to him, man. They were shouting out, looking for autographs, excited to see Kyle Long back. And then the most notable fight today happened between two Dolphins players. It was not a Bears-Dolphins skirmish. Linebacker Jordan Brooks went after another teammate. I couldn't see who it was because they were very quick to break it up. But
I told you that thing down there is.
It didn't inspire confidence for me what's going on in Miami. But I never seen a joint practice fight between two teammates. So that was a good one.
That's amazing. I mean, like, these things are literally set up so you can stop bickering at your teammates and bicker with the players on the opposing team. You can stop being physical with your teammates in practice and just go after somebody else. And instead, you got this.
It's crazy. You want to hear something wild?
Yes.
James Daniels is 27 years old.
It's insane to me. I feel like the James Daniels era was a long time ago.
He was one of the youngest guys drafted. Was that 2018, I think, when he got drafted? And he's only 27.
Like, when was James Brown here? The tackle James Brown.
Nice.
Yeah, I know, exactly. You know, the godfather of the hold. When was he here?
Sometime around there.
Feels similar.
Yeah, it does.
And those things feel eternal.
He's 27. Ago. Emma, great job, man. We appreciate you. Thanks for joining us.
Take care, boys. Have a good one.